In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Easter Vigil begins in darkness, or as close as we can get to it at 8 p.m. this time of year. It starts in the dark, because darkness is where Jesus' body lay on Holy Saturday, in the darkness of a sealed tomb. The stone had been rolled in front of it. No light could enter it. It was sheer darkness. The torn and beaten body of Jesus is at this point already beginning to decompose, and his female disciples are on this day gathering spices together to bring the next morning to wash him and wrap him in a burial shroud. Holy Saturday is not an easy day to be, an easy place to be. Unlike the hosannas of Palm Sunday and the glory of Easter Day that we yearn for at this point in Holy Week, Holy Saturday speaks most directly to the daily reality of our lives in this world. After the shocking realization of death, or the hearing of words that bring fear and despair into our hearts, words like cancer, divorce, your job has been terminated, mass deportation, we find ourselves living with the what next questions in life and in society. We are in a dark place of unknowing. And this is where many of us live, at least from time to time, maybe for some of us a lot. Certainly there are times when we experience the searing loss of Good Friday, and there are other times when we experience the joy and the confidence of Easter. But Holy Saturday, where we begin in the vigil, is the time between death and resurrection. It's a valley of grief and unknowing for us as well as for those first disciples. On Holy Saturday, we and they don't know what the future will bring. Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest whose work you may know, has a book entitled Learning to Walk in the Dark, in which she writes, "Darkness is shorthand for anything that scares me, either because I am sure that I am not sure that I have the resources to survive it, or because I don't want to find out if I do. If I had my way," she writes, "I would eliminate everything from chronic back pain to the fear of the devil from my life and from the lives of those I love. At least I think I like to think I would. The problem is this," she writes, "when despite all my best efforts, the lights have gone off and I am plunged into the kind of darkness that turns my knees to water, I've not actually died. The monsters have not dragged me out of bed and taken me back to their lair. Instead, I find I usually have learned things in the dark that I could never have learned in the light, things that have saved my life over and over again. So that there is really only one logical conclusion," she says, "I need darkness as much as I need light." In the reading from Exodus, as God leads Moses and the Israelites out of Egypt at night, the Israelites cry out to God in fear and uncertainty as they see this massive army of Pharaoh in pursuit behind them, while in front of them is the sea. They are trapped in the darkness of fear and of faithlessness. They cry out to Moses and say, "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians, to stay in Egypt than to die in the wilderness." But Moses tells them, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. What terrible advice. When you think about, if you were in the midst of that and somebody said, just there, dear, just wait, hold still. That's what it feels like a bit. Doesn't he know how hard it is to wait in the dark, not knowing? What do you mean, keep still? Yet just a few verses later, notice, it's on page 2 of the bulletin if you want to look, right there in the middle. There's very little stillness in this story. They keep moving. They keep moving toward the water. And the angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went from before them to behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel, or the people of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness. The cloud, the angel of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. The divine presence, the angel of God, was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night, blocking the Egyptian army from advancing on the Hebrews. Darkness can be a place of sheer terror, true, but it's not only that. It also can be, and often is, in Scripture anyway, a locus of God's saving activity, of God's saving grace. Sometimes we have to wait on God, but while we are waiting, it does not mean laying down and being passive. It means maybe looking back at our own history and the history of God's people. Haven't we all been saved time and time again when we thought perhaps all was lost? Hasn't that been the story of our holy texts? We hear it here in the story of Exodus, and we saw it at the lighting of the new fire outdoors, at the start of the vigil tonight. We gather in the darkness of Holy Saturday, and then God lights the fire of resurrection in the body of his son. And it burns a hole right through the darkness of death. At the start of the vigil, the fire is lit. And from it, we light the paschal candle. And then we light our individual candles from that paschal candle. And we move out into the world, into the church and beyond, into the world. That burst of light into the darkness in the tomb has the potential to start a movement that we join through our baptism, a movement to push back the darkness of violence and oppression and death in this world by waiting on the Lord, which means keep walking. Keep participating in, keep taking our strength and hope from the stories of our faith. We heard it again in the Exalted, sung by Rusty. This is not just a memorial of a night long time, a time ago. This is not a memory of things past. This is the night, now, here, when God brought our ancestors, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt. This is the night. God is doing it. We may not see it, but it is afoot. This is the night, here, now, when God is acting, not just way back then, but now, in this present darkness, whatever it is, burning a hole through the power that death has over us. And when Pharaoh strives to win the upper hand, the light of our baptism lights up our lives, if we tend to it, and can make of us a holy people, a movement of light bearers who fear not the night. Thanks be to God. Amen.